Good morning and welcome to the Ramban Shiur on Parshas Chukas. I'm recording this shiur from Tannersville in upstate New York. I'm sitting on a rock on a very, very quiet morning with the birds chirping around, so it's a very nice background to learning the Ramban. Wanted to take a look today at two Makoros in the Ramban. They touch on the issue of Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael's relationship to the Eved HaYarden, to the portion of land that's on the eastern side of the Jordan River, the land that had belonged to Sichon and Og, and altogether the relationship that Moshe Rabbeinu had to pursuing those wars against Sichon and Og. So if we take a look in Perek Chof Aleph, Sukim Chof Aleph and Chof Beis, we read the following. Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim al Sichon Melech Emori Lemor. Yisrael sent messengers to Sichon, the king of the Amori, saying, Ebrovi Artzecha, let me pass through your land. Lo Niteh B'Sodeh V'Cherem, we're not interested in turning off to the fields or to the vineyards. Lo Nishteme Be'er, we're not going to drink any of the water from the cisterns that we might find there. B'derech HaMelech Neleich, we're simply going to follow the highway Ad Asher Navor Gevulech, until we pass through and come out of your borders. In other words, we just want to pass through. We're not going to do anything. We're not going to bother you. We just want to be able to pass through your land on the way into Eretz Yisrael. And then the pasuk continues, Lo Nasan Sichon Es Yisrael Avor Bigvulo. Sichon denied the request. He did not want the Jewish people traveling through his boundaries. Vayesov Sichon Es Kol Amo. So Sichon gathered together all of his nation. Vayetzei L'kras Yisrael Midbaro. He went out to fight Klal Yisrael in the desert. In other words, it's very clear in the Psukim that the aggressor over here is Sichon. Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael simply wanted to pass through the lands. It was Sichon who attacked and fought against Klal Yisrael. And then, Vayakel Yisrael of Ficharev, Yisrael, the Jewish people, fought back. They smote the army of Sichon and the Emori. Vayiresh Esarzo. And then Klal Yisrael took over the land which previously had belonged to Sichon. So in other words, Sichon was clearly the aggressor. Klal Yisrael defended themselves, and after defending themselves, they found themselves in possession of a large swath of land. The Ramban over here starts off by quoting Rashi. It's clear from the Psukim that Klal Yisrael first sent messengers to Sichon, asking if they could pass through in peace. So Rashi writes, "Afal pishlo nistavu lishloach lohem l'shalom, paschu lohem b'shalom." Truth is, being that Sichon and his people were Knaanim, they were from the Amori, one of the seven nations that inhabited Eretz Yisrael. Really, halachically, Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal Yisrael had every right to simply fight against them and to vanquish them. There was no need to send them messengers to give them the option of making peace. But nonetheless, they went lifnei mishuras hadin, they went beyond the letter of the law, and they offered peace to the people of to Sichon and to his people. That's what Rashi says. The Ramban on this comments, V'od avor be'ezes Hashem imekomo. I'm going to explain later on in my commentary in Chumash, which indeed he will, later on in Sefer Dvarim. The Ramban is going to explain, Ki b'chol ha'umos nitztavu liftoach lahem l'shalom chutz me'amun u'moav. The truth is, what Rashi is saying, according to the Ramban, is not entirely accurate, and we'll see later on that this is indeed a machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban later on in Sefer Dvarim. But whereas Rashi says that the psicha l'shalom, that the sending of messengers to propose peace as a first option was something optional, it was not something that was necessary to do because Klal Yisrael is fighting against the Knaanim. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban is of the opinion that even with the Zion Amimim, even with the seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael, where there's a mitzvah to destroy them and take over their land, nonetheless, Klal Yisrael has the option, not just the option, but the obligation to extend the option of peace to them, with the exception of Amon u'Moav. And if even the Shiva Amimin were to agree to peace on the terms that Klal Yisrael would set forth for them, the Ramban will talk about that in a few moments, so there would be no halachic need to destroy those nations, and indeed they'd be able to live in peace. Right? So whereas Rashi says that what happened over here was unusual and extraordinary, the Ramban says on a certain level it really wasn't extraordinary at all. Anytime one encounters the Shiva Amimim, it's important to give them the option first of making peace. But really, says the Ramban, what's going on here is deeper than that. Aval be'emes ma she'amar lo Ebro be'artzecha, ze ha yamosha osa mi'as lo derech pius. The truth is, says the Ramban, you can't really compare what's going on over here to what's going to happen when Klal Yisrael cross over the Yarden and encounter the Shiva Amimim in Eretz Yisrael proper. There they have an absolute obligation to take over Eretz Yisrael. As the Ramban's opinion is, that they have an obligation to first give them an option of peace before attacking and taking over Eretz Yisrael. But that's not what's going on over here, says the Ramban. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is doing something distinct from how Klal Yisrael would approach the Shiva Amimim in general. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is really just being polite. When he says, "Let me just pass through your land," that's really all he wants. Ki eretz Sichon ve'og yushasam shel Yisrael ha'isa ki le'emari hi v'hayam in adim shimyanu shalom paschu lehem shiyeh kol ha'amanim sova lohem lomas fa'avodum. It's true, says the Ramban, that ultimately the lands of Eivir HaYarden belong to Klal Yisrael because they are lands that are currently inhabited by the Kna'anim. And it's true that had Moshe Rabbeinu truly wanted to, he would have been entitled to attack and take over those lands on behalf of Klal Yisrael. And if that was the case, as the Ramban's Shita is, it would be appropriate and the right thing to do to first give them the option of Shalom. What does Shalom mean? Shalom means that the people there will be subjugated to Klal Yisrael. But that's not what's going on over here. Avol Moshe hayo yodea ki Yisrael ato lo yichpishu kol asara amimim. Moshe Rabbeinu now realized that the right thing for Klal Yisrael is not to conquer all 10 nations. When the Ribbono Shel Olam speaks to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Ben Absarim, he promises him the land not just of 7 nations, but of 10 nations. And that is going to be the Nachala, the inheritance of Klal Yisrael, in the future. But that future is far off, knows Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what the job of the Jewish people is to do right now. Moshe Rabbeinu really wanted to skip over the Eiver HaYarden at this point. He wanted Klal Yisrael to inherit only the quote-unquote West Bank. He wanted them to inherit the western side of the Jordan River, Eretz Yisrael proper. He was not really interested in conquering Eiver HaYarden, the eastern side of the Jordan River, at this point in Jewish history. He knew that ultimately the Jewish people did have a claim on it, but that wasn't his goal for the immediate future. V'shehi ha'aretz ha'tova. Moshe Rabbeinu knew that the land on the western side of the Jordan was the truly good land. Asher hi zavas chalav u'dvash. The land flowing with milk and honey was on the eastern side of the Jordan. Halo tira. Look at the story that's going to be related later on in the Chumash of the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven in Parshas Matos, approaching Moshe Rabbeinu and asking to settle on the Eiver HaYarden, and the whole back and forth that takes place as part of that conversation. It's very obvious from reading that story that had Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven not approached Moshe Rabbeinu, they would have conquered the Eiver HaYarden, and they would have left it uninhabited. The original plan was not really to place anyone there. Moshe Rabbeinu had his sights exclusively on the western side of the Jordan, on Eretz Yisrael proper. V'chein shanoi b'sifri lo seslach, prat le'Eiver HaYarden shenotalto me'atzmecha. So too, the Sifri refers to the land on the eastern side of the Jordan as land shenotalto me'atzmecha, that you took of your own volition. That wasn't the plan to conquer the Eiver HaYarden. V'od amru Rabbi Seinu be'eser kedushos. Similarly, Chazal, when they list off the 10 levels of kedusha of various places in and out of Eretz Yisrael, They tell us she'ein ever hayarden roi lebeis hamikdash v'lishchon l'shikun hashchina v'chein yira bakosuv she'omer v'achim tmeya eretz achuzaschem v'gomer. Similarly, Chazal tell us that on a kedusha level, ever hayarden is inferior to Eretz Yisrael proper, which is why the Ramban seems to be saying Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to settle Klal Yisrael and Eivor HaYarden at this point in time. He didn't even want to conquer Eivor HaYarden. He knew that they had a right to it, but he was pushing off. He really what he said to Sichon is exactly what he meant. I just want to pass through your land on the way to Eretz Yisrael. He wasn't being conniving. He wasn't, as Rashi implies, making the following implicit statement: let's come in peace, otherwise I will conquer you and vanquish you. Right? He wasn't making that implicit statement. What he said is what he meant. I just want to pass through your land and leave you alone. I have no interest in conquering you right now. How do we see that? How do we see that Eivor HaYarden is inferior to Eretz Yisrael in terms of Kedusha? So the Ramban quotes a pasuk in Yehoshua. We'll come back to that pasuk in a moment. And he notes that based on that pasuk in Yehoshua, we see that Eivor HaYarden is not a place which is fit for building the Beis HaMikdash, and it's not a place which is fit for the Shechina resting in that place. The Shechina and the Beis HaMikdash only belong in Eretz Yisrael proper. Rabbi Shavel in his notes quotes from the Kli Chemda, who's bothered by this statement of the Ramban. The Ramban writes that Eivor HaYarden is not fit for the building of the Beis HaMikdash and the dwelling of the Shechina. So says the Kli Chemda, I don't understand. That chisaron, that lacking, is not something which is unique to the Eivor HaYarden. That's true of most of Eretz Yisrael proper itself. There are only certain places in Eretz Yisrael that can be, there's only one place in Eretz Yisrael that can be the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Yerushalayim. There's a specific Makom HaMikdash, a specific place where the Beis HaMikdash can be built. And even other places in Eretz Yisrael which housed the Shechina needed specific psukim to tell us that they would be appropriate places to do so. Take the example of Shiloh, right? So Shiloh, according to Chazal, is referenced obliquely in the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Re'eh. And as the notion that they set up shop, they set up the Mishkan in Shiloh for many, many years, was not just arbitrary, but they had a specific license from the pasuk to be able to do so. So the very specific places, even within Eretz Yisrael, that are places that can be that can house the Beis HaMikdash, what does it mean that Eivor HaYarden, you know, is different, is inferior to Eretz Yisrael, because it can't be a place where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be? Even Eretz Yisrael as a whole is overwhelmingly not fit for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So one might suggest that what the Ramban simply means is that the fact that the Beis HaMikdash is anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, in other words, that it's in Yerushalayim, or that the Mishkan can be in Shiloh, indicates that Eretz Yisrael as a whole has greater Kedusha. Eivor HaYarden has no potential of having the Beis HaMikdash anywhere within it. Eretz Yisrael proper, at least you can have the Beis HaMikdash somewhere within it. Not everywhere within it, but at least somewhere within it. And that shows a greater Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael as a whole. The Kli Chemda suggests differently. The Kli Chemda says that what the Ramban is talking about is the ability to build a bama, the ability to build a private mizbeach, which was permissible during certain times in Jewish history. It wasn't permissible when the Mishkan stood in Shiloh. It wasn't permissible ever after the Beis HaMikdash was built, but before Shiloh and after Shiloh, up until the Beis HaMikdash was built in Yerushalayim, one was allowed to have private bamos, private altars, outside of the Mishkan itself. Says the Kli Chemda, what the Ramban means over here is that Eivor HaYarden is a place where even bamos are not allowed to be built. And that fits in very nicely with the pasuk that the Ramban quotes from Yehoshua. What's the context of that pasuk? So at the end of Sefer Yehoshua, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven have made good on their promise to Moshe Rabbeinu they have followed Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. They fought together with Klal Yisrael against the Shiva Amamim, the seven nations in Eretz Yisrael. They've stayed with the Jewish people until Eretz Yisrael has been divided up. And now at the end of Sefer Yoshua, they go back to Eva HaYarden in order to begin their lives there. And one of the things they do when they go back to the Eva HaYarden is they build a huge Mizbeach, a huge altar that looks just like the Mizbeach in the Mishkan itself. The word gets back to the Jewish people on the other side of the Yarden, and they're incensed. Their understanding is that the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven are building a Mizbeach, and they have no interest in being part of the Avoda, which will take place in the Mishkan on the western side of the Jordan River. There's a whole confrontation. They accuse Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven of finding Eretz Yisrael too tamei for them. That's the pasuk that the Ramban quotes. V'achim tmeya eretz achuzaschem. Even if you were to find the land of that's your proper inheritance, Eretz Yisrael, as being tamei, how could you go and do such a thing? And the Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven explained that, no, we didn't really mean to build a Mizbeach for worship. Our intent in building a Mizbeach is just as a monument. It's meant to remind us of our connection to the Mishkan and to the western side of the Jordan. So rather than seeing this Mizbeach as a sign of rebellion, as a sign of rejection, in truth, the Mizbeach is meant to remind us of the connection that we have to Klal Yisrael on the western side of the Jordan River. Okay, beautiful, so everything works out. Everybody kisses and hugs and makes up, and life goes on. So says the Ramban, according to the Kli Chemda, the pasuk from Yoshua supports his reading of the Ramban very beautifully. What did Klal Yisrael think that Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were going to do with the Mizbeach? So according to the Kli Chemda, it's not that they were building an alternate Mishkan. If they were building an alternate Mishkan, they wouldn't have just built a Mizbeach. They would have built a whole replica of the Mishkan in its entirety on the eastern side of the Jordan. What Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven were doing, according to the Kli Chemda's reading of the Ramban, was that they were building a Bama. And Klal Yisrael objected to that. They said, you're living in the Eiver HaYarden. The Eiver HaYarden is a place where you're not allowed to build a Bama. It doesn't work to build a Bama. The Kedusha of Eiver HaYarden is lesser than that of Eretz Yisrael, such that any type of sacrificial service, even when the Bamas were permissible in Eretz Yisrael, would be prohibited in the Eiver HaYarden. That's the Kli Chemda's understanding of the Ramban over here. Okay, so the intent was not to conquer Eiver HaYarden initially, and it sort of just happened. You know, the Moshe Rabbeinu's plan was just to pass through peaceably. Sichon was the aggressor. Klal Yisrael had no choice but to fight Sichon. And once they fought Sichon and they defeated him, and they discovered all of a sudden that they have all of this land in their possession. Okay, so now they're the masters of the Eiver HaYarden. But that wasn't really the original idea. Concludes the Ramban, V'lo sholchu el og divrei shalom. So you'll say, okay, what about Og? You know, the Sichon was the one who started fighting against Klal Yisrael. Their real intent was not to fight against Sichon, but what about Og? So again, if you continue reading the Psukim, says the Ramban, Og also was the aggressor against Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael would have left Og alone as well, if they could have, but Og of his own volition sought to go and fight against the Jewish people. That's if you keep reading in the Psukim, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayifnu Vayalu Derech HaBashan, Klal Yisrael go by the way of Bashan, Vayetze Og Melech HaBashan, Likrosam, Hu V'cholam Olam El Chomo Edrei, Og and all of his nation goes out to fight against the Jewish people. Again, Og is the aggressor. And this enables us to understand another pasuk with a second Ramban. The pasuk continues in Lamed Daled, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe al tira osa. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid of Og. Ki v'yadcha nasati oso v'yas kol amo v'yas artso. I've delivered him and his nation and his land into your hands. You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. Moshe Rabbeinu otherwise would have been afraid? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu afraid? So there's a famous Rashi over here. The Ramban starts off by quoting Rashi. In the Ramban and Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Rashi writes, Ki hoya Moshe yore shematamod lo sechusa shel Avram, shenemar bo vayavu apolid vayaged l'Avram ho'ivri, for who og shepalat min harefoim shehiku amrafel v'chareirov v'ashros karnayim. Loshen Rashi midivir Abu Seinu. Rashi quotes Chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that since Og, according to Chazal, was that individual who had tipped off Avram Avinu to the fact that the four kings had conquered the five kings and that Lot had been taken captive, and that spurred Avram Avinu to be able to go and to save Lot. So at a certain level, Avram Avinu and his descendants owed Og something. They were in the debt of Og because he had done this action to help the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that, you know, even with all of Og's wickedness, that one wonderful act, that one meritorious act would stand him in good stead, and perhaps that would be enough of a reason for Klal Yisrael to be defeated. So the Ramban comments on this Rashi as follows. Nis'oru gam bozeh midatom shlo yira Moshe Rabbeinu mizra basar ki imo Hashem Elokeinu. What prompts Chazal to make this comment, says the Ramban, is Chazal's disbelief that Moshe Rabbeinu would be afraid of any other human being. What does Moshe Rabbeinu have to be afraid of? Even of a giant like Og. Hashem is with Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem is with the Jewish people. V'chol hagoyim ka'ayin negdo me'efes v'so nechshavu lo. All of the other nations are like nothing in the eyes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ultimately, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For who are Mazaris Yisrael al Tiru v'al Taritzu mipneim? Later on, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to tell Klal Yisrael, don't be afraid of these nations that you're going to encounter with, when you go into Eretz Yisrael. For who are Mashim al-Sam b'Yerosam? It's Moshe Rabbeinu who accuses the Jewish people of not having sufficient faith that Hashem will fight for them. K'inish nemar b'meraglim, v'almar aleichem, v'losaritzun, v'losiri'un mehem, Hashem alokeichem, v'yulachim lachem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael by the incident of the Miraglim, don't be afraid. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly telling Klal Yisrael, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, why is there an implication in the pasuk over here that Moshe Rabbeinu is indeed afraid? Aval nisyari Moshe b'nei hazuchus shiyod alo. So that, says the Ramban, is what Rashi writes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of this chus, of this merit, this unusual merit that Og had. That's Rashi's interpretation. But as the Ramban, v'alderech hapshat, an alternate way of understanding the fear of Moshe Rabbeinu from Og, is the following, and it connects to what we said before. Lo hayu bedato shel Moshe lahorish ato l'Yisrael eretz Sichon v'Og kasher pirashti. As I've already explained, the original plan was not to conquer the Eiver Hayarden area. Moshe Rabbeinu had no intent of conquering the lands of Sichon and Og. V'nei Sichon yatzel l'kras Yisrael amidbar v'yilochem b'ma karcham. As we said before, it was Sichon who was the aggressor, who went out and attacked Klal Yisrael, so Klal Yisrael had no choice but to respond. Oz hodi Hashem re'e achilosi teis lefonecho es Sichon, v'es arzo hachel rosh. Right? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, as is recorded in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, I've already delivered Sichon into your hands. Now, Hachel Rosh, begin the process of Yerusha, of taking over Eretz Yisrael, of conquering Eretz Yisrael, making it part of the Jewish people. Those two words, Hachel Rosh, are very significant, says the Ramban. Ki mikan hischil bekibush shiva amimim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that the war against Sichon, even though it was a war that you didn't intend to get involved in, it now has ended up being the first volley in the battle against the Shiva Amimin, against the seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael. So it was an unintentional beginning, but it was a beginning nonetheless. But that's with regard to Sichon. Aval Og, Asaf kol chelo edrei, v'hi ir b'ktzei gevulo, V'hayu Yisrael yicholun tos me'alav kasher natu me'al Esav. In the case of Og, although Og was also the aggressor, it was a little bit different. Sichon went out with his nation and attacked the Jewish people where the Jewish people were. Og marshaled his forces to Edrei, which was a city near where Klal Yisrael were encamped, but he didn't actually enter into the Jewish camp. So now the question was, should Moshe Rabbeinu attack Og and his forces in Edrei? Or no, should Moshe Rabbeinu go on his merry way? There was no way of avoiding Sichon. Sichon attacked the Jewish people directly. But it was possible still, says the Ramban, for Moshe Rabbeinu to avoid Og. Og was marshaling his forces, but maybe Moshe Rabbeinu could have just snuck out the back and taken Klal Yisrael in a different direction. Vashem Amar lo al tira oso. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't be afraid of him, meaning you never have to be afraid of any Kanaani king that you're going to fight against. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to be on your side. But when is that true? When it's part of the actual commanded war of the Shiva Amamim. Maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from Moshe Rabbeinu is to leave Og alone. So Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't know. So that's Hashem says, Al Tira Oso, don't be afraid of him, meaning that the war against Og is also part of the Shiva, of the war against the Shiva Amamim. Maybe had you encountered Og first, you would have just slipped away the way you wanted to do with Sichon. But now that you've begun the war against the Shiva Amamim with Sichon, Hachel Rosh, this now begins the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'lech etzlo v'hisgarbo milchama. As the Psukim say in the beginning of Devarim, hisgarbo milchama, start the war against him. Again, he's coming and making the first step, so you respond, ki biyodcha nasati oso. Right, I've delivered him into your hands. So, in other words, ultimately, it's the reluctance of Moshe Rabbeinu to conquer the Eva Hayarden, and the fact that he was sort of pushed into doing so by Sichon, helps us understand this back and forth with regard to the fear of Moshe Rabbeinu with Og as well, and why initially Moshe Rabbeinu was not sure whether it was the right thing to do. In order to attack Og. Okay, wishing everybody a wonderful Shabbos, and everyone should be well.